and making the surface of the earth tremble with his footsteps, that blazing creature came before Maharaj Ambarish. But the king, upon seeing him, was not at all disturbed, and did not move even slightly from his position. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narayana para sarve na kuta chana bi bhavyati. 6.17.28 Bhagavatam. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of any material danger. There are many examples of devotees, such as Prahlad Maharaj, who were tortured by his father, but were not at all afraid, although he was only a five-year-old boy. Therefore, following the examples of Maharaj Ambarish and Prahlad, a devotee should learn how to tolerate all such awkward positions in this world. Devotees are often tortured by non-devotees, yet the pure devotee, depending fully on the mercy of the Supreme Person of Godhead, is never disturbed by such inimical activities. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksus Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Surito Pangur Mamamanda Matir Gati Mat Sarvasva Padambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano Jai. So let's take a look at this picture. They're painting us a little picture that Maharaj Ambarish, he's there, he's been fasting for a long time, a year on Ekadasi preparations, looking forward to breaking his fast. I don't know if any of us have ever done near jhava, but generally when that moment comes around, it's kind of a favorite time. And now we see this Durvasa Muni, he appears on the scene here and he becomes extremely angry. And he creates this demon that starts to attack him. So in the picture, there's a picture of this in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Ambarish is just standing like this. He's got his folded hands in the pranams. And I was just saying, let's think about that picture for a moment. For myself, one time I was getting a fruit down from a tree, and I had a little stick to tap the fruit so it would fall. But I didn't see that right next to where the fruit was a wasp's nest. And like a pinata, I hit the wrong one. At that moment, something else was created that was rushing towards me, and I had no thought of standing there with my hands folded. I took off really fast. So this demon, Godzilla here, is designed just for him, in mind by this yogi who can create this instantly. So this would seem like a very fearful situation. So I thought of a moment, I'm looking at the picture and I'm seeing him with his folded hands. What's inside that folded hands of Maharaj? He could have left them at his side, but he had his hands up like that. That protection of devotees. Sometimes there's the Narayan Katvacha shield, you say all these mantras. But the devotee, he folded his hands and he was saying, so I was thinking of Krishna. So I was thought of a couple other examples of situations like that. Of course, we have in the first canto and second canto, Maharaj Parikit, the whole Bhagavatam. He's got a situation coming up, which I think he also faces in a similar way. There's Draupadi, of course, she has an advanced pranams, her pranams for Krishna. And who else we got? Srila Prabhupada. I was thinking bringing it up to date, or even... we know Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we were thinking about him yesterday, and we remembered that there was also a mystic that attacked him and his family. So he wasn't curtailed by that. Mahavishnu, pretender. So when Prabhupada was a young man in Calcutta, the bombs started falling from the war, and he said, here comes Krishna in the form of a bomb. So I'm just noticing how in the different cantos we're having different ways of people dealing with these attacks. So because of the influence now of Krishna Balaram here, and we're seeing them bringing the Vrindavan atmosphere, childhood Vrindavan atmosphere to mind, it came to mind now, as you're progressing along in different stages, what happens when the cowherd boys saw Agasura? They says, this looks like a big snake that's ready to gobble us up. What should we do? And what did they do? They said, well, let's go inside and play. So there's the Siddhanta ultimately. And of course they said, we're dependent on Krishna. So I was just thinking of ninth canto, and then that's the tenth canto. So when these different problems come up, how we depend on Krishna. So in the other day, I think it was in Nagaraja's class, he mentioned how a devotee, he's not under karma anymore. If he's not under karma, then he's under Krishna. He's interacting with Krishna. So I thought that's always nice to see. So part of those folded hands and the pranams is that remembrance. Because I was thinking, what's inside that? You know, if you look inside, what's inside those pranams that are so special that it gives this shield from everything, all material disturbances, and rectifies it. So imagine we could just, I'm also a bad speller. When I write stuff, I try to sound it out phonetically and it doesn't come out so good. So when I wrote down pranams, I wrote pran om. Life is in, oh, anyway, little jokes. thank you. Okay. So I was thinking what's in those folded hands is submission to the internal potency. And what's the first that we all learned when we were little kids, the little rhyme that goes along with that? Anybody remember the rhyme? Somebody can say it. I'll give the first word, I'll give it away. Rake Krishna More Ke, More Krishna Rake Ke. And I thought, that's so nice, the first time I heard that. Immediately one can feel secure by that. If Krishna wants to kill you, what's going to stop that? And if Krishna wants to protect you, then what can kill you? So that's something else that's included, because if you look at how many things are in those pranams, there's lots of the more you become conscious of what you're filling in there, because you can be dull sometimes, niyamagraha, and not be actively in putting the consciousness, growing the consciousness. So I thought we'd look into it and see some of the hints that Prabhupada has given us. Because everything in Krishna consciousness is more or less given as hints. You have to make the connections inside yourself. It's a very intimate process. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts off, I always like the way he starts off, the very first thing that he says to Arjuna, more or less, is that you're in Maya. That's the first thing he says. And then why? What's wrong? He says, because you're not this body. Oh, okay, well, if I'm not this body, then what are you supposed to do about this body? And who knows the next verse, what he said? Tolerate it. You got to tolerate it. If it's happy, you have to tolerate it. If it's distressed, you have to tolerate it. Then what am I supposed to do? Okay, next chapter. Chapter 3, you're supposed to do some sacrifice. You're supposed to do some give up the fruits of your work, some get rid of, understand what doing work for Krishna and not doing work for Krishna is. He says, I'll explain it in transcendental knowledge in the fourth chapter and bring it all the way through so you understand what this sacrifice is of giving up the fruit of activities, which includes the bodily conception of life, which is how you tolerate because you're in your duty of serving Krishna. And then, of course, we know in the fifth chapter, he explains, okay, here's some practical ways to do this with your intelligence. You can understand, I can talk to your intelligence, and you can decide how to do that. And in the sixth chapter, you can understand that this there's different ways to get into this remembrance, this of Krishna. But of all those yogis who can do that, you know, because generally the jnanis and the yogis, they're more or less bad sports. They still got that chip on their shoulder. You know, they're not happy about things, and they're more or less wanting to get an angle and not suffering so much, but and using everything for themselves. But for devotee, he's delightfully engaged in Krishna service. So in the seventh chapter, text 28. Who knows that one? Anybody know that one? 728. First word. Tesam sa antab gatam papam. Yeah, purna karmanam. Very nice. So, translation for that is, persons who have acted piously in previous lives, that's, we've got superseded that, Prabhupada made our, he gave us a jump start on that, and acted, and in this life, that's Prabhupada again, and whose sinful reactions are completely eradicated, that's following the four regulated principles, he says that'll more or less take out over 90%, just do those. And are free from the dualities of delusion, hearing Bhagavatam, they engage themselves in my service with determinations. Sometimes, and then there's, all right, oh, ah, got these nice points. But, I thought it was text four. Prabhupada mentions that, my notes are not. He explains in the purport to that verse, I had some place here, that when one actually does that, his mind becomes peaceful enough that he, and he becomes situated in knowledge where he can meditate in trance in Krishna consciousness. So this meditation in trance, that's the practical samadhi of a devotee living according to Bhagavatam. If you're out of the bodily conception of life, everything you're seeing is through the shastra, then you're actually in this trance of understanding. So, if I can follow my line of thinking here, so that requires some training. So, who remembers? This is how Prabhupada is bringing us this point, just like Maharaj Ambarish. We have this picture that he's not moved from his place. Now, it doesn't say his place was where he was physically or his place was where he is mentally. But he wasn't moved out of his consciousness of being fixed in Krishna consciousness. So, who knows how you train an ox? Anybody know how to train an ox here? Well, years ago we used to have oxes here. In 1981 I used to be here, and we used to cut all the grass and plow the fields with oxes. We had the Chitayo actually in Akinchina. They used to run this, a couple more devotees, and we had these sickle bars, and we used to cut all the grass with oxes. And when we used to go on the front field here and be using these oxes, giant, majestic-looking Swiss, brown Swiss, beautiful oxes, they used to just pull off the road and just stop and watch us using these oxes. So anyway, the way you train an ox is, when they come up to an obstacle, they put a little pebble in the way of where they're moving, a little stone. And when they run into that stone, they stop because there's some resistance. So that's an untrained ox. He stops because of this resistance. So what they do is they give him a little encouragement, and he goes forward, and he knocks the rock out of the way. It's just a little rock. And he's, oh, I see. There's a resistance. You push a little bit, and you overcome it. And they build up their self-esteem. Here's a rock. I overcame it. So the next time what you do is you put a little bit bigger rock there. So he hits this rock and he tries the same way he just tried the last time, and this time it didn't move because he's used to a little rock. So you give him a little bit more encouragement and he knocks this rock over. He says, oh, I got it now. So then you proportionately give him bigger and bigger rocks to, he's getting the idea. And when he's finally trained up as an ox, no matter what he comes, if it's a tree stump, it doesn't make any difference. He will not stop. He'll just keep trying and pushing until something breaks. The yoke will break, the rope break, the heart, something breaks, or that piece moves. That's when he's trained. So we're being trained how to overcome these past sinful activities. So, you know, if they say, when there's no more papa, then there's not going to be any more mata either, because you're finished with birth and death. Another one of mine, I guess. So. Anyway, I thought it was cute when it came through. No more papa, no more mata. No more sins, no more birth in this world. But then again, someone told me that papa meant French fries, so I was... Is that right? Spanish for French fries? Okay. Moving along. All right. So, Prabhupada, tough group today. Here's something from the Nectar Devotion. If one has finished his material activities, then there's no more birth. No more papa, no more mat. Okay. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, as soon as one is perfect in Krishna conscious activities, he will not take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly free from the resultant activity should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, this is the hook, the punchline, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. This is his only solace. If devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns the claim to enter the kingdom of God. Who knows the Bhagavatam verse that they're paraphrasing here? Yeah. Sadayabak becomes his rightful inheritance. So that's the we just read it from the Nectar Devotion, expecting the Lord's mercy. And that's other parts of that purport in the Nectar Devotion is that Prabhupada said that this should be the guide for all devotees. No devotee should be no one is released of the reactions all of a sudden. It takes a little bit of time. Just like in the fourth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, around 38-39, it says there's nothing so pure and sublime as transcendental knowledge, which is the mature fruit of all mysticism, when in due course of time one will enjoy the self within himself as it matures. So we're in that process of a due course of time, how to go through this due course of time. Just like in the classroom, you don't study something out of your grade level. Otherwise, it gets confusing. You're building your foundation. So as we are progressing along seriously by following Prabhupada's sadhana, always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, we're progressing. And it's so nice in this community. You have so many wonderful older devotees. You can see the fruits. I was just noticing today, so many people were happily dancing at Arti. And how is that possible? I mean, basically, material life is always giving every one of us a lot of trouble, unless it's just me, but I don't think so. But yet, you look around and everybody was so joyful. It's just a wonderful phenomenon that takes place by the mercy of Prabhupada with his whole extraction team. I mean, Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, comes as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda picks up the mood of Lord Chaitanya and says, okay, you want to deliver fallen souls. I got it. All right, I'm going to expand that to Jagai and Madhai, who gave us our opening. That was, he more or less set the mood for Prabhupada to come to America by delivering Jagai and Madhai. He says, okay, there's the where am I going to find all these Jagais and Mud Eyes? So for the glorification of Prabhupada, the Patita Pavanam, here we are, some years later by his mercy. So Bhagavad Gita again, 9th chapter, 13th verse. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service. Does that sound a little bit like Maharaj Ambarish? When you want to find somebody who's fully engaged, isn't he like the picture in the dictionary? Fully engaged, all nine processes. Because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Of course, if you know Krishna, one who knows Krishna doesn't take birth again. He's got you covered on all these different ways. So, Purport Prabhupada said, in this verse, the description of Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of Mahatma is that he's already situated in the divine nature. So how it was that we were all happily dancing, that one should learn to see that here's the divine nature. And when you look inside those pranams, that's what's inside there, is that divine nature. You got it. You know, if you look in there, you can see all the different intricacies of that. And that's our shield, because here Krishna just said, if you can remember me, well, let's see, 1858, who remembered 1858? If you become conscious of me, all right, Krishna conscious, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you forgot and you defaulted back into the bodily conception of life, sorry, couldn't help you, you're lost. So you have to keep that channel open. And then, of course, right in that's the end of the Bhagavad Gita, and where's the Bhagavatam start off? Alright, let's just do a quick summary of the Bhagavad Gita. Completely rejecting all materially motivated religion. Boom, covered it. Alright. This Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, reality distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth, what's it do? How do you know what it does? What's it do? It uproots the threefold miseries. This great Bhagavatam compiled by the great sage Vyasa, whose maturity is sufficient in itself for realizing Krishna. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears this message of this Bhagavatam, what will happen? By this cultivation of knowledge, what happens? Krishna is established in the heart. In other places, it translates it as, you've captured Krishna. Captured him in your heart. Can't get out. Compact. Okay. I think I already read this one. In this world, there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. We're seeing that even though that yogi was there cursing, sending over the demon, he didn't have the mature fruit of all mysticism. How to say it again? The mature fruit of all mysticism. So the mature fruit, he was still a little green around the edges. When one achieves this, he enjoys the self within himself in due course. Now, how important is that, to enjoy the self within the self? Do you ever think about how important that is? That is your immune system. This material nature, it enters into your consciousness through dissatisfaction. A Brahmin loses his knowledge, who becomes dissatisfied. One has to learn to see. That's another part. I got that one. I'm not sure if I can find it or not. But there's another part in this verse. He said that he saw perfectly. So that's, if you like to study, or at least find out what they're talking about, you know, it says, sees perfectly. Then you spend a little time and see what they're referring to as sees perfectly. So in this seeing perfectly, who remembers what seeing perfectly is? Bhagavad Gita says there's five things. Also in the 14th chapter? I think it's the end of the 14th chapter. Actually sees, maybe it's 13. Actually sees, there's about four or five verses that talks about one who actually sees. But you can sum it up pretty quick. That's a sum. He sees equally. But what he sees, that's included in that. And actually, that verse, he sees the cow and the cow eater and the dog eater, the same, the elephant, Hasti. In the Bhagavatam, in Prahlad Maharaj section, it talks that that's a benediction that Krishna gives the person when he's pleased with their devotional service. That's a benediction. That's not a pandit by studying. That's a pandit by pleasing Krishna's reciprocation that he gives him that vision. So that's a kind of a neat twist on it. I like that one a lot. So, but what it says is that the devotee is trained to see five things. He's trained to see Krishna, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, but Krishna's not alone. So he sees Krishna, the living entity. Okay, so there's two. Where are we? Oh, you can see the material energy and Kala. He sees eternal time because you're eternal, Krishna's eternal, actually his material nature is eternal, time's eternal. There's only one more that's not eternal. What's the one that's not eternal? Yeah, you stack it together. You know, he takes the material energy, puts it in a medicinal form for you to be rehabbed with, and plus with a devotee, he not only sees all those things, but he also has compassion because he knows Krishna's purpose. Even if you see all those things and you don't have the same compassion, it's not as complete. So once you see all that, so of course tomorrow's verse we see what happened to that demon that's rushing towards him. And he's just peacefully thinking. Also, what about, it wasn't quite as severe, and it was another, sometimes when devotees are offering obeisances, different things take place. Like Lord Shiva was offering, he was in samadhi thinking about Krishna when Daksha came in and says, not offering me obeisances, you know. So that started a whole big thing. And then, there's plenty of times when these, but we see how he was tolerating. But he tolerates, actually it's interesting, I hadn't thought of it till just a second, that one of the reasons that you tolerate is because later on you want to turn the situation around and benedict the other person. That's one of the reasons that one tolerates. And that with Lord Shiva, he knew later on that he was going to be able to get Daksha back on track. All right. Here's a nice verse, Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is just so wonderful. It says, this is 5:12. It says, the steadily devoted soul. So we're talking about now the example. And Bhagavad Gita gives us all these instructions. And Bhagavatam gives us all these personal examples of this. So see if this would fit. The steadily devoted soul obtains unadulterated peace. Unadulterated. Not just peace, but it's unadulterated. It's really the purest. Because he offers the result of all activities to me. Whereas a person who's not in union with the divine is greedy for the fruits of his labor. It's always broken down into two categories. Make it real simple for us. Fruit of activities, devotional service. That's it. That's the whole show. Fruit of activities, devotional service, and your choice. Which one you're going to pick. And that's all that there ever is everywhere. From the highest planet to the lowest planet. Everywhere you go is just, in every circumstance, which one are you going to pick. So if you have knowledge, which always starts off with Om, Om Ajnana, or Nama Om, or Om Ajnana. Everyone always starts off with this three. There's you and Krishna, the process of devotional service, remembering and forgetting, the internal potency, the external potency, and the marginal choice potency. So, real simple. Purport. The difference between a person in Krishna consciousness and a person in the bodily conception of life, fruit of activity, is that the former is attached to Krishna, okay, where the latter is attached to the result of his activities. recruited worker. So, in the Bhagavatam, the cause of anxiety over the result of activities is explained as being functioning in the conception of duality, that is, without knowledge of the absolute truth. Krishna is the supreme truth, the personality of Godhead. In Krishna consciousness, there is no duality. All right? There's another study, too, if you want to do another query, document, study. Study what duality is, this non-dual substance. Study, basically, it's matter and spirit. That's the punchline. Its symptoms are happiness and distress, but it's all matter and spirit. When you're without duality, there's no more matter. Never mind. Never matter. Okay. In Krishna consciousness, there is no duality. All that exists is a product of Krishna's energy, and Krishna is all good. Therefore, activities in Krishna consciousness are on the absolute plane. They are all transcendental and have no material effect. No papa, no mata. Like therefore, one is therefore filled with peace in Krishna consciousness. But one who is entangled, this is another one of these Prabhupada, I don't know, they're like poetic statements. He says, but one who is entangled in profit calculation for sense gratification. Anybody else like that one? Profit calculation for sense gratification. He's summing up the karmi mentality. Profit calculation, sense gratification. Cannot have this peace. This is the secret. You can say it out loud. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Realization there is no existence besides Krishna is the platform of peace and fearlessness. So is Maharaj Ambarish our fearless leader? You know how they say the fearless leader. Here's the perfect example of a fearless leader. This demon, because he's not just attacking Maharaj Ambarish, he's actually attacking all of his citizens, his whole kingdom, because if anything happened to Maharaj Ambarish, what would happen to everyone else in his kingdom? So he's okay, so we understand that if you do you remember what the truth is understandable by those devotees that are pure in heart? You know the word for pure in heart? Devotees that are pure in heart. Oh, you remember it? What is it? Are you nodding your head? But Nirmat Saranam Satam. So near is not, they're not envious. So because they're pure in heart, they see everyone as in their relationship to Krishna. And because of that, they're not envious. One of the ways that I found that was really sweet on that is that verse 10:14:7. We were discussing it once where we're talking about that Krishna has innumerable qualities, just like someday they may be able to count the grains of sand or even the molecules of sunshine, but you can't count Krishna's innumerable qualities. And in the purport, Santan Goswami points out it's because Krishna has one quality unique to every individual. And what I've took from that, and we embellished it a little bit, is the love that you have to give to Krishna. Nobody else can give that love, your love to Krishna, only you. So you have something that's very, very rare, and it's in demand. Krishna wants your love. And you're the only one that can have that unique relationship that you have with him. Just like suppose you have 10 kids, and you say, well, I got 9 of them I'd love, the other one, you know, is a little... No, you love everyone. You know, so it's like Krishna, we're all parts and parcels of Krishna. We're all intimately related to Krishna. And he loves every one of us, and he wants the love of each one of us. So how special that is. So when you're out on book distribution, you're thinking, this will start this person back to loving Krishna. It's what Radharani does. When Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Radharani, Krishna is in the mood of Radharani as Lord Chaitanya, this is what he does. Get the souls, come back home, just chant Hare Krishna, I've empowered it, you'll make it all the way, just chant it. This phenomenal, oh, that was the class I was going to give. That's the other one that I forgot. So that 728 verse on how we were going to act piously and all the and have our finish with our papa and finish with everything else is all included in this verse. I think it was the purport to Adi 8:26, and Prabhupada quotes this verse for elevation, for eligibility for elevation. The transcendental platform is mentioned in this verse. Those who are sinful and atheists, foolish and deceitful, is very difficult for them to transcend the duality. Ah, this is what I was looking for before. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulator principles of religion, who have acted piously and have conquered sinful reaction, can accept devotional service and gradually raise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, gradually, they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. So this morning I was thinking about, I was trying to chant my Gayatri, and my mind, I don't know if anybody else ever has a problem with this, it wasn't exactly staying put. It moved around. So I was thinking, for me, devotion is attention. If I could pay attention to Krishna, then, so it turned into a whole thing, naturally, the way my things is that in magnetism, everybody knows what a magnet is. You can put it next to a piece of metal and it jumps over to it. So a magnet, what it is it has all the molecules pointing in the same direction. So I was thinking, if my mind, if all the desires could be pointed in the same direction, then what would that be called? Like in a magnet, when they have all the molecules, they call it a magnet. When it's in light and they have all the molecules lined up in the same direction, you know what you call that? If you can line up every molecule to be facing the same direction, what kind of light do they call that? Anybody know? That's a laser. The lasers are all in the same direction. So if you can get all of your consciousness in the same direction, then what do you call it when all the consciousnesses, all the molecules are lined up in the same direction, all in your mind? You call it a pure devotee. So that pure devotee is like a magnet. So if you put another piece of metal next to a magnet, you know what happens to that piece of metal after time? Anybody know? I liked science when I was a kid. So anyway, it becomes a magnet. It also gets magnetized. Every one of the molecules in that piece of metal gets turned around, and when they're all turned around, then it becomes a magnet. So I was thinking of Srila Prabhupada, that since he has no other desires, unalloyed devotee, everything he does is this pure magnetism of Krishna consciousness, attraction towards Krishna. And we've all somehow or other, being inert metal, we come more or less got pulled over, and the more we associate with Prabhupada, he's turning us all also into magnets by changing every one of our desires into desires for Krishna. We're magnet, because when you're splayed out means you're going in all different directions. You have no potency, like a magnet doesn't have, metal doesn't have the potency of magnet does, that attractive element. So Prabhupada is this big magnet. He's attracting us. If we stay next to Prabhupada, we become, have all our material desires one by one changed over to Krishna, because, how do you say it? Yay, prasade, pure, sarva, asha. That, yay, prasade. I always like, yay is kind of a pun for me. And they say that yay is an expression of happiness. Yay, prasade. What's it do? Sarva, all, pure sarva, asha. It changes so you recognize that all your desires get satisfied by this chanting of Hare Krishna, which was the next paragraph, and we're out of time, where it said, so, that is confirmed, 12.351, kirtanayad eva krishna sha mukha sangha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, while passing on the road, he used to chant, Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, Krishna, 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 Pahimam, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. If one always chants the holy name of Krishna, gradually one is free from all reactions to sinful life, provided he chants offenselessly and does not commit more sinful activity on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. In this way, one is purified. His devotional service causes the arousal of dormant love of Krishna. If one simply chants Hare Krishna mantra and doesn't commit sinful activities, one's life is purified, and thus one comes to the fifth stage of perfection, or engaging in the loving services of the Lord, prema pumarta mohan. There it is. And I think I'm out of time. If you want, I got one other thing. Maybe I'll skim it, because the other class I was going to do. I call it problems. Five stages to Udipan. Now, Udipan is a Sanskrit word, and Deepa is the root, and Deepa means flame. So, it means lamp, but technically it's flame. So it means, and Udipan means that which inflames the heart of remembrance of Krishna. So first, do we have any problems? Life's full of problems. It's all we have. It's all we're experiencing. So I said, what is a problem? Some difficulty, some anticipated loss, some situation that's perceived as cause for my distress. Maybe it's my karma or, something else. I've been told that there's no problems for a devotee. But what does that mean to me? It means I should be a devotee. Okay, so then this stage one, is it a problem? Stage two, it's actually not a problem. It's a challenge to come to this, to the level of being a devotee. And disciple means, discipline, pleasing Prabhupada, Charya, Van Purusha Veda. So it kind of goes on for there. So then the next step is that what's the challenge is actually it's a growth opportunity to apply the principles of devotional service to time and circumstance to detail what's going on in my life. This is my growth opportunity. So these are the preliminary parts. The next two get really sweet, and I'm just going through it because we're out of time, I should have said earlier. But the next one is, what gives attention to detail is love. Love gives attention to detail. If you've ever watched somebody doing something for their beloved, they have such way that they do it. That you're not just like, you watch these devotees, they're making these garlands. They're not just throwing these garlands together. They're not just dressing the deities like, okay, let's get it done, and then we'll go and take some. There's such attention to the detail. So this detail, this concentration, this attention, which is the worship, when you can do that. So Krishna has attention to detail in our lives because he loves us. So everything that's happening, it's not a problem. Just like I said, tell somebody, you ask somebody, how to swim? They say no. So then you talk to them the next day, says, I went to the library, I got a book, I read a book on how to swim, now I know how to swim. Would you think that this is accurate? They know how to swim because they read the book? No, let's throw him in the water and see if he knows how to swim. So we've all read the book, Bhagavad Gita, we hear class, but life is in the water. She said, so who's going to be happy to say, you know how to swim? So Krishna says, okay, in order to really know if you know how to swim, we're going to start you off in the shallow end, but you have to practice what you've learned. So Krishna, they're not problems. He's giving this. He's made these arrangements as our teacher, the Chaita Guru, the destiny, the Krishna personally, for you to practice. And if you get it right, you can move on. If you get it wrong, you got to practice a little bit more. Maybe you forgot how to do it because you don't want to sing. So because you're thinking Krishna actually pays, he's in my life, he's paying attention, he's arranging all these things. This isn't just happening by chance. Maharaj Ambarish has got folded hands. Remember, Krishna is doing all these wonderful things. The cowherd boy is going into the Agasura. He's just marvelous Krishna. So then the heart's contacted at this point. Now you're remembering you're not the body. You remember Krishna. You remember Krishna's love. Something's taking place. that change that's in your heart, now you're feeling Krishna's presence in such a wonderful way that that's Udipan. He's inflaming your emotional remembrance of Krishna favorably. All right? Anyway, thank you. If there are any questions or comments. Oh, you got one. You have to walk over and get the mic if you want it. It's right there. I'm sorry. I get carried away when I start thinking of Krishna. You just have so much association with Krishna and his books that I get the ring.
No, this nice lecture. A little bit longer. But anyway, no, there's a perfect example of tolerance in the Srila Prabhupada when he came to preach in New York. We know how long he's traveled.
Yeah.
He was determined to follow his spiritual master's instruction.
And it glorifies him. Everything for a devotee, just like this thing with Maharaj Ambarish and
pure devotee, Maharaj Ambarish.
Always, when Yudhisthira, everything always glorifies the devotee. How wonderful that is. And that's, you teach the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. The devotees, one of the things is just to be that example, the instrument for Krishna to show. What's it like? Just like when I was looking around, you see so many people smiling, jumping up and down when life is really hard. And how's that possible? That's the internal potency there. You're getting to see a glimpse of that. And
because
that's
like it
wonderful.
Says that in the scriptures, that the pure devotee has the all the good qualities of the demigods. And when was that? Saturday, more, when they were reading all the good qualities, 26 qualities of the devotee. The Prabhupada exhibited all those qualities, you know.
And, of course, anyway, if we look at those qualities, do you know in the Guru Vastaka prayers, there's the one that we chant about has qualities in it. You know which one has qualities in it? Hari Twaina. Twaina is qualities. Hari Twaina says Saksat Hari Twaina. So those qualities, what we recognize, it's not the qualities of demigods that we're so much attracted, and that's maybe for some money. We're saying these are directly Krishna's qualities. You know what a sponge, if you ever squeeze a sponge, you know what comes out of a sponge? Whatever it was just associating with. You put it in milk, you squeeze a sponge, milk comes out. You put it in water, you squeeze it, water comes out. You put it in ink, you squeeze it, ink comes out. So, a pure devotee, who is he always associating with? Rasa Raj, Madhava, Radha Madhava. He's always associating when Prabhupada, before he, every class, Jai, Radha Madhava. And then he goes, sometimes he comes back to external consciousness. So, then when you squeeze a glubjaman, what comes out? You know, so every time Prabhupada speaks, what comes out? Whatever you're associating with. Nitya Bhagavata Seva. Thank you. Glories of Prabhupada. Oh, we got one. Mahamaya, can you bring her the mic? Your class was so nice the other day with all the qualities.
Thank you for your class. I was thinking that you should be, you know, make some venue evenings or some seminar or something, because you just, you know, you never want to stop. You know, it just flows, right?
I do have a lot. But
there was one point that you made that I never heard of before, that there's one unique quality that everybody has. And
8, 10, 14, 7.
Okay.
Purport by Sanatana Goswami.
Wow, see, I never read that. So you were attributing that to be, you know, that we all have unique love for Krishna, which is probably true too, But I was thinking, hearing it as, we all do have some unique quality.
Yeah, and that makes you rare and special.
Exactly. And then if we don't find out what that is and develop it and become expert at it, or in any way get connected to what that is.
Prabhupada then, sometimes would, you know, call it fan the spark.
Right.
He would call it, that's the spark. That when he talked, you had this little teeny spark. And he said, just fan that spark until it's blazing.
Okay, so I was just thinking, if we don't fan it, then we're cheating ourselves, we're cheating Krishna, we're cheating the rest of the world, because we have something unique to give.
And
so I was thinking how imperative it is to find that.
Oh, that's nice. And then to fan that spark, if you do a query and study on that one, Prabhupada calls it the sadhana. Our sadhana fans our spark. So that's, he sets it up for ourselves when we realize the significance and the urgency of getting out of here while the getting's good, so to speak. You know, going back to Godhead for a song and a dance. You know, it's never been, ever has there been an extraction team like has assembled for pulling us out of deep behind Maya's lines here and taking us back to Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's pastime. So just sometimes I say, if when we appreciate what Prabhupada is giving us, it says you can experience Krishna's presence, but I'm never good at spelling, so I ask people, how do you spell presence? And then I turn it into a pun. Both.
Like gifts.
A gift, that's one. And the other one is that Krishna's with you all the time. There's a presence that, you know, sometimes you want to be present, be here now, but you're always with Krishna. So when the mirror is clear, cleaning the dust of the mirror, you see you're not by yourself. Krishna's with you. And you don't turn, we don't turn, at that point, we're enamored. You know, the like enamored. Sometimes they say, oh, you got enamored, rapture. They have different words in different cultures for what happens when you start seeing Krishna's qualities, every aspect. There's four special qualities Krishna has that even Vishnu doesn't have. Do you know what those four are?
Ever useful.
A best flute player. Close. The three bending.